Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL playoffs. Six wild card weekend games. It starts tomorrow with the Chargers and the Texans. That, by the way, was an obvious first game. It's probably the least attractive of all of the matchups, and they tend to put the least attractive matchup in that 4:30 Saturday slot, Denton. That's on CBS. The Chargers are 3-point favorites. The total is 42.5, so let's start with that one. What do we think? I'll let you go first.
Well, you know I like the Chargers a lot. You know, I came across a stat. Justin Herbert has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in not putting the ball in harm's way. Right. So seeing him go up against his Texans defense, you know, Houston had so many high expectations entering this season and have really not lived up to a majority of them. Not all the faults of C.J. Stroud, injuries, defense not being as good, offensive line taking a massive step back, all legitimate reasons as to why they have not been the Super Bowl contender that most people thought they would be. I like the Chargers because I think the Chargers have an identity. They run the football and their quarterback doesn't turn the football over. They're not asking Justin Herbert to be Superman. He can. We've seen the ability that he can go out there and throw the ball, you know, 500 yards on any given week, but they're not asking him to do that. So I like the Chargers. Plus, Jim Harbaugh's a winner. He's going to find a way.
I like the Texans. I mean, part of it, as you know, is this is the biggest sort of contrarian, anti, you know, public sentiment game of the six. No one is giving Houston a shot. The Chargers are 3-point favorites on the road. I get a team at home. I get a team that's good defensively. You know, they got Derek Stingley Jr. They've got Lassiter. They've got, Danielle Hunter, you know, and Will Anderson Jr. I think that they can get after Herbert. I think defensively they can cause some issues. I see this being a low-scoring game that the Texans have a chance to win. They are going to be in my smell test, I promise you that, plus the three. And if I like them plus the three, I got to give them a chance to win the game. Look, Stroud, Nico Collins, etc. They're capable. They just haven't been consistent because of what's going on up front. They've been a mess up front offensively. And the Chargers can really get after you defensively. I think this is one of those, you know, conservative, you know, fast moving games, good defensive action for both teams. And it ends up, you know, being 17-13, 17-14, one way or the other. I'm giving Houston a shot in this spot at home. I think we've seen a lot of times this, you know, kind of early game home team 4-5 matchup with the five being given a lot of opportunity. Remember last year, wasn't Houston-Cleveland the 4-5 matchup, and Cleveland was rolling coming in. Houston had played very well too, but, you know, inexperienced quarterback, rookie quarterback, and Houston rolled the Browns. I get it. Herbert's more, you know, experienced. You've got a very experienced head coach in the postseason. I kind of like Houston to pull this out, or just at least make it a down-to-the-wire game where they at least get the cover. I was reading something earlier. Houston's been outstanding on third down against quarterbacks. 19.5 QBR is the quarterback, the QBR on third downs against Houston's defense. They've been outstanding. Stingley Jr. has turned into, I mean, is he the best corner in the game? He's close to it. Is Sertan the best corner in the game?
I'm saying Sertan is
I think so. I would take Sertan. I agree with you, but Stingley Jr. has been outstanding. I kind of like Houston. All right, Saturday night.
Saturday night, we get another divisional matchup. Steelers-Ravens, not quite the Steelers-Ravens feel as we got in the mid-2010s and kind of late aughts when it was Flacco and Roethlisberger. You get Russell Wilson, and then you get Lamar. We love Lamar. Baltimore, 9.5-point favorites. It's the biggest line of the weekend. They're going to be without Zay Flowers, but Pittsburgh has been, I mean, crawling might even be too generous to describe how they are getting to the finish line of the season. They've been on a big-time losing streak.
Pittsburgh's chance, first of all, losing Zay Flowers is a big deal for Saturday night. He's been outstanding. I think Pittsburgh can't think about, you know, slobber knocker, trenches, running the football kind of, you know, Pittsburgh-Baltimore kind of a game. They can't move the football. Running the football here recently. I actually like Jaylen Warren in some ways more than I like Najee Harris. You know when they had a chance, I know it's Cincinnati's defense, but is when they went quick game and they went no huddle. I think their best chance with Russ and, by the way, you know, their receivers, Pickens has to hold on to the ball. He dropped three passes against Cincinnati. But I think they got to throw the football. I don't have any confidence, and it sounds like you don't either, in Pittsburgh's ability to move the football and score. And I do give them a shot defensively. Look, this is Lamar's postseason. If he doesn't play well, if he's antsy, as he described earlier this week about his previous playoff games, anything can happen in any of these games. And look, when you get a rivalry like this and it's the third time they've met, you know, it's hard to say that Pittsburgh doesn't have any chance, but what I saw offensively from them last week, it was a miracle cover for me. I just can't imagine that they can score even 17 points in the game. I don't see Baltimore scoring any less than 21 or 24. So I like Baltimore. I don't like the game from a betting perspective, personally, but I think Baltimore wins this game and advances, and the number one reason is there's no reason to feel like Pittsburgh can move the football and score enough points on offense.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I would emphasize what you mentioned about a quick game for Pittsburgh. Anything that's more than a three-step drop for Russell Wilson becomes
trouble.
Like an 86-step drop. He just holds the ball forever, and he's going to get sacked by this Baltimore Ravens defense. They understand that, too, knowing that they played him three times. I do think Baltimore wins that 9.5 number. You know how I feel, and you feel this way too. Anytime you're close to double digits in the NFL, that's kind of like a danger zone. Stay away from that, especially in the postseason. A 9.5, nearly 10-point number in the postseason is incredibly too high to jump on.
I mean, let me just mention, because when you talked about Russell in pure dropback, it's not pretty. One of the things Russell Wilson has to recognize that even at, 35 years old, he doesn't have the wheels that he used to have, but his wheels are better than most still. He's got to run more. He has to scramble more. He seems, you know, it felt this way in Denver, last year and the year before. It felt this way at times in Baltimore this year, where he kind of views himself as, you know, I'm a veteran quarterback. I'm a guy that beats you with my brain. I'm a guy that beats you with, you know, in the pocket. No. The best of Russell Wilson in his career was Russell Wilson on the move, extending, creating, and threatening a defense with his legs. He's not the runner he was 10 years ago, obviously, but we've seen a couple of runs in recent games that have been big. He can't hesitate. Whatever it takes to move the chains, because they have had a big problem staying on the field offensively. I think that's big. On Saturday night. All right, let's go to Sunday. We both like Baltimore.
Baltimore. Onward to Sunday, the second biggest line of the weekend. You get Denver on the road in Buffalo. I can't imagine what the weather is like in Buffalo.
It's not going to. I was looking at it. It's not terrible. I think they've got snow Saturday night. But let me pull up the quick updated forecast for Buffalo. But I don't think we have snow on game day. Cold. But no snow, you know, upper 20s at kickoff with no snow in the forecast. So that's what you got as of now.
It still seems like it sucks, but I like it where it's warm. They're 8.5-point favorites over Denver. Bo Nix's first opportunity in the playoffs. He's in the same spot as Jaden Daniels. I did come across a crazy stat. Let me just pull this up. I mean, you want to talk about somebody sent this to me because I had talked about the LeBron stats, right? Like Jaden Daniels has been coming up with LeBron stats, if you will. Our guy Fred sent me this on Twitter. Sean Payton is 30-12 against bald head coaches. And Sean McDermott is bald. Okay. So the Bills might be in trouble.
Who in the AFC, who in the NFC South was a bald coach that he beat the snot? Dan Quinn?
Unfortunately, Dan Quinn. I think he coached up against Lovie Smith for a while when he was with Tampa Bay. He was without hair on top of his head. Great beard, but didn't have hair.
Do you have any more serious analysis?
No, I do not. First of all, I do think that's serious. But, I mean, you're going up against Josh Allen, who is on the midst of this MVP-caliber season. Bo Nix has had a very good season, but I do think there's a massive difference in quarterbacks. But Denver's defense with Patrick Surtain, if Amari Cooper is going to be playing as wide receiver one in 2025, Patrick Surtain can lock his ass up. So what is Buffalo going to do offensively if that is the case?
This is a very interesting game because I think Denver can move the football and score against Buffalo. And, you know, you came across a very interesting and relevant stat. So did I. Bo Nix has a 93.8 QBR on throws of 15 or more yards. Jared Goff destroyed Buffalo on throws of 15 yards or more. By the way, that's a shocking number on Bo Nix, isn't it? For a guy that we were all convinced after watching him at Oregon would be a horizontal behind the line of scrimmage thrower of the football. He's been excellent as a rookie. Not offensive rookie of the year excellent, but he's been excellent. I think Denver is creative offensively. They've got a quarterback that really has gained a significant amount of confidence. They've got guys like Sutton. They've got guys in the backfield. The guy that, you know, may be a major X factor in this game is Mims. Marvin Mims Jr. has been a big game, a big play kind of a guy. I give Denver a legit shot to win this game. They're an 8.5-point underdog. This isn't, first of all, I didn't even mention the strength of their football team, which is their defense. But Buffalo has seemed to move the ball against anybody that's good on defense. But I think Denver can move the ball and score points. This is going to be one of those games where the road environment and Bo Nix in his first game and basically a lot of the Broncos in their first kind of playoff game, do they tighten up a little bit? Do they make mistakes? They can't afford to make any mistakes. If they go through this game and let's just say they're plus one or better in the big mistake category, turnover category, I give them a chance to win the game outright. I definitely give them a chance to cover the number. I think this is a close game Sunday in Buffalo. I'll give Buffalo, because they're at home, the edge, but I think it's, you know, something like 27-24, 30-24, something like that.
Yeah, this might be something where you flirt with covering Denver there, because I don't know that Buffalo's going to win by nine. How about the game where the line has moved at least a little bit? I'm still seeing it at 4.5 at some books, Kevin, but gone up to 5. We thought it was because Jordan Love might be dealing with some stuff. I am now seeing that it is official. Jalen Hurts is clear concussion protocol, so he is going to be good to go. There was, I guess, some questions on whether or not he would be active this weekend. You get Philly, you get Green Bay. This is the game that precedes our game with Washington and Tampa, so that's a 4:30 kick on Sunday. The Eagles are now either 4.5 or 5-point favorites wherever you can find them. This is also a rematch from week one, so we get two first-week rematches in the postseason. Had Minnesota beaten Detroit, it would have been all three week one rematches.
Oh, because Washington, Tampa, and Philly, Green Bay in the Brazil game.
Yep, and then it would have been Detroit and Los Angeles if the Vikings won, and they were the week one matchup as well. But you get Green Bay, you get Philadelphia, not in Brazil this time. It's going to be in Philadelphia. You decide which is a better place to play. I think I lean the Eagles in this one, Kevin. I'm actually stunned in a way that Washington has been the popular pick amongst talking heads in that one. I thought Green Bay would be similar, but I'm going to lean Philadelphia.
I think Green Bay has been similar. I think a lot of people like the 6 and 7 seeds in the NFC playoffs and the matchups. I'm with you. If Jalen is healthy and cleared to go, obviously a big topic is Jordan Love and how healthy he will be. But Philly's one of those teams where if you can stop the run with four up front and you can rush the passer with four up front in the postseason, man, God, does that go a long way. Philly is so good on defense, and they are so well coached defensively. And last year in the postseason, remember, Green Bay ran it at will against Dan Quinn's defense in Dallas. They threw it at will. It was really awful. But that was a smaller defensive team. That was a smaller kind of try to make plays, but it had struggled to stop the run. Philly doesn't struggle to stop anything defensively. I think that's where this game's won, in the trenches with Philly's front four and the ability to stop teams from running the football without loading the box, to stop teams from throwing the football without having to send extra man pressures. Philly can do that. They're one of the only teams in the draw that can do that. And I'm going to take that, especially in that environment. The Dallas environment last year, there were so many Packer fans in Dallas. This is at Philly. If Hurts is healthy, I like the Eagles, and I think the Eagles end up covering in this game as well. You know, it ends up being something like a 21-13, 24-13 kind of a game. I like Philly.
Yeah, I like Philly too. They're my pick to come out of the NFC. So we're going to skip our game. We'll get to that as we close our show. Final one, Vikings, Rams. This one's going to be in Arizona. The NFL made the decision yesterday to move it from Los Angeles due to the fires taking place on the West Coast and moving it to Arizona where the Cardinals play. And the line is adjusted, Kevin. This was a 1.5-point line for the entirety of the week almost. I'm now seeing Minnesota -2.5. So the Vikings line getting a little larger.
That's in part because they're going to have home field advantage in Glendale.
They're going to have home field advantage in L.A. too.
Yeah, but not to the same extent. You know, I said this earlier in the show, a lot of Midwesterners end up in Arizona for the winter. You're going to have, the tickets are on sale. You're going to have a Viking takeover. It's unfortunate, and obviously it's tragic for all of the reasons that we've, all witnessed all week long. But that is going to be a home game for Minnesota. I think the key to this game is the Rams versus Brian Flores' blitz. And on the other side, Sam Darnold versus LA's pressure, period. I mean, LA beat Minnesota. It was a Thursday night game. It was Minnesota coming off their first loss to Detroit, and then they lost 30-20. Remember, there was that just egregious face mask on Darnold end zone missed at the end of the game. It doesn't mean Minnesota would have come down and won the game, but I think Stafford and Nacua and Kupp and McVay are very good with what they will counter Brian Flores' blitz rate and pressure with, because he comes after. I think Minnesota blitzed more than anybody in the league did. They took some big hits against the blitz against Detroit, and there's a lot of similarities between Detroit and L.A. I kind of like the Rams here. I think the Rams are I trust Stafford and I trust McVay to be able to beat the blitz and get it done against Minnesota's defense. And then we saw what Sam Darnold is under a lot of pressure in a big spot. It was a disaster last week. I think the Rams win this game. I see where the line's going, and it'll feel like a road game in Glendale. But I like the Rams Monday night.
We're on opposite sides. I like Minnesota in this one. The Rams struggle against the passing attack. I think Justin Jefferson has a defining game in this one. We haven't gotten to see him a ton in the postseason just because Minnesota hasn't been in the position that they are this year. Defensively, they've always struggled, even when Kirk was the quarterback. Now that they have one, it's lifted them to this spot. I think Justin Jefferson has a really crazy game. But I think this is the game. The reason this line is as short as it is, Kevin, I think this comes down to a final drive in some capacity or another, whether that be an overtime.
Who would you trust, Stafford or Darnold, on a final drive?
I think Minnesota will have the opportunity on the final drive. So I'm going to go with that's why I'm leaning with them. Not necessarily a trust thing. I trust Stafford over Darnold, but I think Minnesota touches the ball last in the matchup, and I think they win this one.
That's kind of random to just predict that they'll touch the ball last.
It is.
To predict that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's with a 2.5-point line. Vegas is almost doing the same thing.
Right. So it's 50-50 on who will actually touch the ball last and needing to score. One of the things I'm just curious about with all of what's happened and is still happening in Southern California, how has that impacted the Rams' preparation for this game? Has anybody written anything about that? Do we know?
I don't know. That's a great question. I was wondering that, too, because we've heard a lot about how it's impacted NBA players and NBA coaches.
J.J. Redick lost his home. I would imagine some of the Rams live in some of the, you know, areas affected. I don't know that for sure, but yeah, I mean, can you imagine being out there and it's like, yeah, we got practice at 1 o'clock. Yeah, but my neighborhood's burning down. I don't know the answer to that. We'll find out. But if they've struggled to kind of prepare for this, look, one of the benefits is that they are coming in fresh after not playing their starters on Sunday against Seattle, whereas Minnesota was dragged through a very difficult night in the final game of the year. So we'll see. All right. Smell test coming up. Denton's got some news, and the reason we're gonna do news today is the All-Pro teams just got announced, and there are four Washington players on it. Four. We'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan, show the Team 980 and the Team980.com.